Trees grow old and die all the time, but when lots and lots of trees die in short order, it becomes a concern. Sudden oak death syndrome has been a concern in our region for years. As the name implies, its principal target is oak trees, often tan oaks. But related pathogens can cause problems in other tree species, and that's what led to the formation of a sudden oak death syndrome task force on Oregon's south coast. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon and State Representative David Brock Smith of Port Orford both had hands in forming the team, which recently produced its final report. David Brock Smith is with us. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Representative.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you.
Sure. And Court Boyce is with us as well, a Curry County commissioner, Curry County being Gold Beach, Brookings, Port Orford, and all of the South Coast. Thanks for joining us, Commissioner.
Good morning to you both.
So, Representative Smith, give us an idea of the pressure that came from several directions leading to the formation of the task force.
Oh, great, Jeff. Yeah, thank you so much for, again, the opportunity to get the message out about sudden oak death and the task force's work. Just a little history. We formed the I was a former Curry County commissioner, and back in the summer, fall of 2015, the quarantine area doubled in size, encompassing nearly a third of Curry County's 1,648 square miles. Also at that same time, a new lineage was detected, the European strain of sudden oak death we called the E1 strain, only in two sites, just north of Pistol River. And so I began work in trying to put a task force together because of the economic impact, not just in Curry County, but in Southwest Oregon in general, with regards to the Port of Coos Bay, our nursery industries, and, of course, our timber industries. At that time, we began the work, and the EU1, we went to the state and was able to get in the spring of 2016 some dollars from the emergency board where Association of Oregon Counties, County Solutions, could help facilitate a task force. As we were putting it together, of course, my prior work with Senator Merkley allowed, that relationship. He, of course, had a vast knowledge of sudden oak death, being the former speaker of the Oregon House of Representatives. And I was very happy that he committed to come on board, and he has just been fantastic to work with and is really plowing the way through the federal side of things on the knowledge and getting some resources to attack not just the NA1, and holding it back, but more importantly, the EU1, which, of course, affects Douglas fir, which makes it so concerning.
Okay, I want to explain some terminology. Your NA1 is the Phytophthora remorum, which is the particular kind of stuff that tends to be the sudden oak death we're used to, but there's another strain of this that goes by the name EU1. Is that right?
That's correct, okay. Jeff. And the EU1 strain went from two sites, two infections in 2015 to nearly 30 in 2016. And we still haven't got the pathologist reports back, but it looks like nearly 60 here in 2017. And so that is why the mission statement of the task force is to develop a collaborative-based action plan, including the securement of adequate resources to contain the NA1 pathogen and eradicate the EU1 pathogen using the best available science. The economic impact to not just the spread of the NA1, but more importantly, the infestation and spread of the EU1 really is in the billions. And we're working on resources to get that new economic impact statement together.
So, Court Boyce, as the commissioner for the county where this is all happening, I mean, when we're talking about a tripling of the area for quarantine, I mean, how many people are affected economically, and how often are they knocking on your door?
Well, that's what we're trying to determine through our task force and our various terrific committees. I want to just real quickly mention the stakeholders that Representative Brock Smith and Senator Merkley brought together the local tribes, the state and federal agencies, the counties, cities, philanthropic entities, industry associations, of course, environmental and community groups, because they recognize how much this could affect Oregon if this disease continues to spread north. And so the effort that was put in by Representative Brock Smith and Senator Merkley, along with just a tremendous effort of people that, and again, the Association of Oregon Counties, it is bringing kind of a new light to it, even though it's a 16-year-old disease, Jeff, and issue that we have here in Curry County. The bottom line is we are looking at any way and every way to keep this contained to Curry County. Yes, everything from increased fire level risk to our nursery industry, as the representative mentioned, just any way to keep it here. And then California is also a little bit of a player, and we're trying to learn as much scientifically there and even culturally how to combat this. And I think we're definitely headed in the right direction.
Commissioner Boyce, what other trees are affected in addition to the tan oaks?
Well, it's actually, unfortunately, all oak species, except the white oak seems to have a little bit of a resistance. So we kind of have our fingers crossed there, Jeff. But it's up to 100 species. And it's not just the timber industry that's important to Curry County. It's our recreational value. It's our, obviously, our wildlife habitat, our clean air, water, et cetera. So when it is quite harsh on that many species, it is, and we're learning as we grow in this European variety, what we're learning in Europe, it, assuming that it's exactly the same pathogen, and we believe it is killing evergreens slowly in Europe. So we are really tuned in to how we can hopefully avoid that here.
Okay, so obviously far beyond oaks, which is where the concern gets that much greater. We're talking to members of the Sudden Oak Death Syndrome Task Force on Oregon's South Coast. Court Boyce is a Curry County Commissioner. David Brock Smith is an Oregon State Representative from Port Orford. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe some experiences you'd like to relate about encountering trees with Sudden Oak Death Syndrome. We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Representative Brock Smith, I want to back up. You had mentioned EU1 was at two sites and it's up to nearly 60. Did I hear that right?
Yes, correct, Jeff.
Wow. So that's a big spread. That's a big sudden spread.
Well, and that's how this pathogen works, Jeff. The unfortunate thing about this pathogen is it's a water mold that moves in our fog, wind, and rain. And here in the South Coast, we have a lot of it. And so the spread of this disease through that type of environment, as you can imagine, is moving north by northeast and east. It lies, of course, you know, dormant. Well, not dormant, excuse me, but it does not multiply during the summer months when it's drier, but only during the winter. So during those times, as these spores are being produced in the canopy, the wind and rain just takes it, and there's some host species, for example, myrtlewood, that can contribute to growing spores but show no signs of infection, and which creates a huge problem throughout the whole forest system.
Is anyone able to show at this point, Representative Brock Smith, an actual dollar loss to sudden oak death syndrome in Curry County? I mean, do you have economic damage figures to relate to? And does this get up to the point of a federal disaster at some point?
Well, I would say it's a federal disaster. I mean, just the trees lost on private property in South County alone are in the millions. You have a situation where the Ellen Goheen and with BLM U.S. Forest Service and pathologist Sarah Navarro are really the incredible workers in all of this and trying to contain the NA1 spread and attack the EU1 spread. But you have a disaster because of the fire danger you have a disaster because of the spread and then the funding and resources, which is one of the reasons why we convened the task force. There's over 60 sites and the spread of the NA1, but only the resources last year to treat half of them, because the resources shifted to go and attack the EU1 spread. You have an environmental disaster as well, because these tan oaks that are being devastated in South County are a main food supply for the ecosystem. They're acorns. And so it's really a disaster on multiple fronts. And as it continues to spread north, then you have this situation where you have a county that's quarantined. Currently, we have a very unique situation where Curry County has a quarantine zone, which is 515 square miles. Normally, you don't have that situation because you have an entire county that's quarantined, so it's very unique. But once we move past the Rogue River, I believe that we'll have a countywide quarantine, which then affects adjacent counties to international shipping. Especially when you look at the logs that are being shipped out of the Port of Coos Bay. And so you have a devastation economically in an already depressed environment when it comes to timber resources. You have a devastation economically when it comes to nursery industries trying to ship out, and then the added costs involved with inspections and or the fact that the countries just don't want to deal with those industries and species that have this disease or could potentially have this disease. And so, again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to get the word out, because it's part of the communication and civic engagement of the task force to let our citizens know exactly what is happening, what could potentially happen, and we need their support to get the work done to halt this disease from further impacting the economies of Southwest Oregon.
David Brocksmith, you mentioned that if it gets past the Rogue River, that's a bigger issue. How close is it to the Rogue River? Has it reached the South Bank at this point?
No, I believe it's less than 10 square. It's less than 10 nautical miles from the Rogue.
That's correct.
All right, we're talking about Sudden Oak Death Syndrome and the Sudden Oak Death Syndrome Task Force formed on Oregon's South Coast in Curry County. Court voices of Curry County Commissioner David Brocksmith, Oregon State Representative from Port Orford. You can join this conversation about Sudden Oak Death Syndrome and the ways to deal with it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. This has traveled north, and Court Boyce, I wonder how much discussion you've had with supervisors in Del Norte and Humboldt counties to the south about their dealings with this.
Most of our discussions have been all the surrounding counties, all the managing agencies. Certainly the governor's office has been involved through the regional solutions. Not too much, Jeff, in the Northern California area. I think that's part of what the task force additionally would like to accomplish. Because there's just some moving targets there that we're not sure how they're doing their part and what the status is. We just are, again, so focused on trying to keep this in Curry County. And to say there's an emergency, obviously public officials need to be careful that they don't overstate something like this. But the more David's been doing this for years, researching this, and I've been involved for several months now, and just to see the expansion in a 15-year period, to see the efforts that have been made prior to this ultimately not succeed despite honestly very good decisions is puts the right focus on it. And so to get those resources, the federal government has come through, the state of Oregon, actually in the governor's budget they were going to eliminate the funding this biennium with the tremendous budget crunch they had. And in fact, thanks to Representative Buck Smith and others, it has been increased. And so I believe he's going back to the emergency board in September, and Senator Merkley will be keeping the pressure on. It's just a critical thing to Oregon, and I do not believe, Jeff, that we're overstating this. We really need to be on our toes, and I think responsible people are really jumping in and becoming wisely involved.
Well, part of the reason you're here today is I noticed in the strategic action plan that right at the top of the list of things to do is communication. David Brocksmith, other than here, with whom and about what specifically?
Well, with everyone, really, Jeff. It's the communication plan with our nursery industries, our timber industries, our shipping industries, and just the general public. There's a lot of sod that is down in, of course, there's a general infested area that's in Brookings alone that has just been devastated to where no treatment is occurring anymore, which, you know, those folks have on the private land side have lost economically their timber resource on their land. We're just trying to get the word out to everyone to understand the disease, be self-aware that when you're working in the woods, when you're working in the general infested area, we don't want you to be cutting down some of that tan oak and then hauling it up to Port Orford. It's one of the reasons why, you know, Del Norte doesn't seem to have a sudden oak death issue at this point. It was brought into the nursery industry down in South County, and so that's where the spread occurred and began to occur. And so we're working to secure the resources, because the resources that we were able to secure, as the Commissioner Boyce said, the governor had sod funding zeroed out in her budget. We were able to get $450,000, but because of the spread of the E1, which is, of course, critical to manage, all those resources are going to attacking that pathogen and its infected host in the Pistol River area.
All right, let me explain to our listeners once again. When we talk about sod funding, we're talking about sudden oak death syndrome funding. So that's what that stands for. And then the two pathogens involved here are the standard NA1 lineage of the Phytophthora remorum, and there's also an EU1 strain that has apparently come from Europe at some point. We're talking about this with Representative David Brocksmith from the Oregon Legislature and Court Boyce, who's a Curry County Commissioner. So what can be done on the ground? What are the treatments on the ground that you mentioned about treatments? So, I mean, are we talking about taking the trees down, but they can't leave the quarantine zone? What sorts of things can happen there, David Brocksmith?
Well, thank you, Jeff. Currently, the treatment is a 300-foot buffer where they cut down the tree, spray the trunk to kill any regrowth, and pile and burn. And so these, of course, this treatment can only occur during the spring months, because you're in a situation, and then late fall because of fire danger and the problems with, you know, you have shutdowns because of our heat. And so that in it is a problem in itself. But then you have a situation where there's a lapse in time where you have an infected plant, and then when it shows signs, and then when it can be treated. And then you have another situation where you have workforce available to come all the way down to South County to do these treatments, because you need experts. You just can't have a bunch of folks out there working in the woods. And so that's part of the other implement of the strategic plan, is the workforce development. We're looking at the possibility of using our expert firefighters during the shoulder seasons, because they have the knowledge and expertise to do this work. But again, it all takes resources. And that's what we're trying to secure. I just want to add, Jeff, if I may, when it comes to the EU1, it can't be any scarier economically. It's very aggressive, much more aggressive than the NA1. Mm-hmm. And what it does to the Douglas fir, for example, or tan oaks and trees in general, is it causes tip dieback in the conifers, and then it girdles the tree and kills it. And so you're only increasing the fire danger throughout Southwest Oregon, and putting homes and people in jeopardy as well.
We're down about our last minute and a half here, and I have a question about treatments, because I know when Port Orford cedar was having major problems years ago with a similar pathogen, Phytophthora lateralis, that the Forest Service was proposing sanitation cuts, and it seemed like every time I talked to anybody from an environmental group, sanitation cut was done with air quotes. Are we talking about taking out large numbers of trees sort of preemptively here?
Well, that's part of the science, core science teams and all lands teams approach. They need to look at what is the best way to move forward and have those discussions with the pathologists, with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and the BLM and U.S. Forest Service, which I can't thank them enough for their collaborative efforts in trying to contain the disease. They're doing an amazing job with the limited funding. You have to understand, Jeff, in the last 16 years since this pathogen has been identified in Curry County, there's been about $17 million associated, $18 million associated with dealing with the disease. And as the Senator Merkley has said in the past, if we were to be able to front load those dollars, we'd be far, far ahead. And we can't have the situation now.
All right. So, yeah, $18 million is a lot in a small county like Curry, and that's where this the major area of concern is over sudden oak death syndrome. The task force assembled by Representative David Brock Smith of the Oregon Legislature, who you just heard from. He's from Port Orford, a Republican, and he's been working with Jeff Merkley, U.S. Senator, Democrat, from obviously the United States Congress. Court Boyce, Curry County Commissioner, was with us today. Court Boyce and David Brock Smith, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
All right, take it easy.